Draw swords. You can either look up the verse, or if you know it off by heart, you can just stand up and say it. Okay, so.
The Great Commission
in Matthew 28:18-20. Go.
Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and that I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Thanks, guys. Who have you learned that and practiced that for the exam? Good. Okay. Thank you very much, Christine. Okay. So there we have been given the Great Commission. So then who does this apply to? A specific race?
No, everybody.
All no. Nations. All nations. A specific gender?
Wow.
No. All nations. A specific age?
No.
No. All nations. So therefore children are part of all, children are a part of all nations because they are children and they're part of everything. So it applies to them as well. So as you can see, it's biblical to do children's ministry. But also, why is it important?
Children need a firm foundation to build their faith on, and also the rest of their lives. We are given the responsibility to teach them this foundation in the Ten Commandments, and all throughout the Bible we read that children's ministry is important to God. So, who can think of any verses about children's ministry in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Yeah,
Kareem?
The popular prayer, the disciples
want to send the children. Oh, that's in the New Testament. Yeah, can anyone think of something Old
Testament? Something around about teach your children the word of God when they're still young, so that when they grow, they'll not depart from it.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
That's Proverbs 22. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. So the time that we spend with children at a young age impacts them for the rest of their lives. And those values that we'll instill in them, they'll be able to recall later on in life, maybe in times of trouble or suffering or whatever it may be. And there's statistics that show that that children that come to or hear about Christianity in their youth, about 80% of them will come back, even if they fade away, they'll come back to Christianity in their adult lives. And that's because this verse is being lived out. So we need to give children that solid foundation. Okay, so what about a verse in the New Testament?
About children's ministry.
Can anyone think of something? Kareem, you had a pretty good example.
The disciples sent them away, and then Jesus said, let the children come to me and go.
Exactly, absolutely.
Yeah, that's in Matthew 19, verse 14, where Jesus says, but Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And it is made so evident throughout the whole Bible that children are important to Jesus and also to God in the Old Testament, which means they should be important to us as well, since we are applying a biblical worldview to all areas of life. As Christians, we know how to show people Jesus' love, but it is so important to also share that unconditional love that Jesus gave us to our children. Because children also, they have value. They are important to God. They are people already. They're not just tomorrow's generation. They're already living today. They already have a calling today.
And here we can see, for example, like we do these things about pro-life and whatnot. It's because that person is a person already in the womb. And so why suddenly, when they're a little kid, do they start becoming important? They don't. They're always important, and therefore we need to teach them these things.
Yeah, and God doesn't put age restrictions to faith. There's not a certain age that you must reach to be saved or to understand what the Bible means. From very young, children can understand the Bible, and that's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God can work in young people and in old people. That's not an age restriction. And what's very important in children's ministry is to have the right motivation. We know that it is biblical and we're told to do children's ministry, but why? And this motivation should be to the glory of God, like everything we do, but also from the love of Christ. How much Christ loved us, that should be our motivation to love children, to have compassion on them as well. And children today are one of the greatest mission fields. In Africa, there's so many children, much more children attended I think some of our conferences in, well, not everywhere, but in most places. And Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court. So children are important to God.
And we can see this, like, in the Gospels and stuff, when we read about Jesus and his ministry and everything. Jesus showed love to all the outcasts in society, to the tax collectors, to the lepers, to people that weren't almost considered worthy. One of those things were children. He showed love to the children, and like we just said, where the people try to bring the children and the disciples like, no, and no one really considered the children, but Jesus was like, no, bring the little children to me. And that shows that children are part of the outcast society, and it was, in that day and age, a big deal that Jesus said, bring the little children to me. And the thing is, like today, we don't understand that as much because of our culture, we look after little children. But like you could see in Belleville the other day, like you see all over Africa, that they don't have that culture. And that's because as European descendants and everything, we have Christian forefathers, we have the reformers and all of that, and they changed our whole culture. And part of that was little children being valued and all that type of thing. So because of that culture, we now know to look after children, to value children. But that's all the physical side. Why do we neglect the spiritual side? We can't neglect the spiritual life. Mm. And so, like, the reason people do neglect it is because they don't have that biblical worldview. They're not seeing the little children through the lens of the gospel, which is so important, which we need to do.
Yes. Yeah, so throughout generations, the Bible talks about genealogy, and it's very important in the Bible. And throughout generations, the Bible stories have been passed on from father to child, and from parents to children. And that is how it continued being taught to everyone. And that is how they knew what they believed, how... Like, they didn't have the Bible to read and to learn from. They learned from stories. And it was very important in the Bible's time already to pass down that knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, generations is very important. And in Exodus 34, verse 7, it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity, so the sins of the fathers upon the children. So even the sins of the fathers goes next to the next generation. But the opposite is also true. It says to the third and the fourth generation. But the opposite is also true. When you teach your children to obey the law of God, the Ten Commandments, they will also be obedient to that. And, you know.
And just like on that same point, like we learned with the three problems and the three solutions, we learned that we have a destructive and poisonous life, and like it says in that verse in Exodus, that it doesn't just affect our lives. We know that it affects the lives of those around us, but it doesn't stop there. It goes to the next generation. Like, if you think about it, Liska and I were chatting about this the other day, and we're saying that, like, we're chatting about friends of ours and saying how they have these, they're struggling with certain things and they have these certain issues and whatnot because their parents,
Because of how their parents and lifestyles.
The reason that their parents are like that is because they had rough upbringings. And the problem is that you have that children that are hurt by their parents and whatnot, then they grow up and they have these issues, and then that then falls onto their children. And it's just this whole destructive process that keeps on going. And it's so tragic, but it's what we read in the Bible. But the same then goes for if we teach the children in the ways of the Lord, then they grow up and they teach their children in the way of the Lord. And so it's this whole generational thing, which is so, so important.
Yeah, you know, it's our responsibility, because we know we are given the Word of God. That should be the main reason, the main motivation to teach children. Anyone who's not Christian, who don't use the Bible and Christ's commandments as motivation to teach children, don't have the right motivation. It will always be for praise or something else. And it is such a great, big responsibility to teach them the truth. In Matthew 18, verse 6, it even gives a warning to those who don't. It says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." So, with this blessing of ministering to children also comes the responsibility of teaching them in truth and to not lead them astray. And that's, again, focusing on the generations and how Christ and how we are unconditionally loved by Christ.
And also, like we said earlier, we read that verse about children being like arrows in the quiver. So every child is a blessing from God, and we have the privilege of having children and that type of thing. But with that comes a major responsibility, and we cannot afford to neglect that responsibility. Yeah, and also, like, children's ministry doesn't necessarily just refer to
teaching and Sunday school.
Or to, it can refer to little brothers and sisters, little cousins, children in our community. Like, it's so important that we love the little children around us, that we, just like we were in Belleville, it doesn't have to just be restricted to Belleville. It can be any children that we have around us, friends, little siblings, whatever it is, we need to share the love of God with them.
Yeah, and because children have fresher minds, they're not as corrupted with so many lies already, they're often more open to the gospel than many adults are. And so the main thing is, in children's ministry, that our own relationship with the Lord must be right, so that we can be adequately pouring into the lives of these children. And if we truly believe that Christ loves us, our hearts should break for what breaks His. And I'm pretty sure that if God doesn't approve of let's say the children in Belleville who are being left just on the streets and so on, that's not compassion for the children. That's not bringing them up in His word. And so we must have the same anger, I think, about that, the same will to go out and
same burden.
The same burden for those. And we do not only want to share it, but we have the responsibility to truly love our neighbors as ourselves. And we must share it to even the least of these, which is not for us to be praised and searching for acknowledgement and saying, "Well done, you are teaching, like, you're so humble for teaching these young children." We should have the right motives as well. And the motives should be working for the kingdom of God, to the glory of God. And without that, the heavenly treasures are lost.
Yeah. And like the other day, we might even do good things and start off with a pure heart and good motives and that type of thing. But it's so easy to become distracted or to become prideful or whatever it is. And even like the other day in Belleville, we're busy doing door-to-door and street ministry and all of that. And I was chatting to people and whatnot, and I was on a team with Quinton. And like towards the end of the day, he came to me and he was like, "Emma, I really like what I'm hearing. Like, I can see that I don't have to worry about you evangelizing people, because like initially when you have people come onto your team, you're always like a little bit worried that they might not share the true gospel and that type of thing. But you're doing such a great job. You're so good at this." I started to feel like a little bit prideful about that. And immediately then I was like, "Oh, like, I wonder if Quinton will hear what I'm saying here." And then it's completely the wrong motivation. And so even though it started off pure and correct, it's so, so easy to just get, and then it becomes pointless. Like, there's no, then you've received,
no value.
You've received your praise on earth here already. So it takes away your spiritual, your eternal
treasures.
So it's so important to try and keep that humility, keep that selflessness, and always, because it's so easy to just slide off that little path so quickly.
We can't do it out of our own strength. We can only do it through the strength of God from the Holy Spirit. Because in our human nature, we are proud and jealous and not loving each other as well as ourselves and God above everything. So we must pray always in children's ministry, in any ministry, that the Holy Spirit gives us that true love and the true compassion, and that we will not rely on our own strengths. We must be dying to ourselves. The weaker we are in ourselves, the more we realize we can't do it in ourselves, the more we are dependent on God, and the more strength we will have from Him.
And just like any evangelism, you can't do it because, "Oh, we're told to do it, so I have to do it. It's what I'm supposed to do. I need to tick it off, like tick my little box." And we need to have this heartbreak for the lost. We need to have a love for the lost and want to do it. That's the correct motivation, and that's the correct heart to have.
Yeah. And also, children's ministry should exist with the goal of communicating the love of Christ to the children of the world, as said before. But it is so important to remember that most often, though, it's thought of as something that takes place at church and not as something that applies to everything of our lives. The way we play, the movies they watch, the songs they listen to. We must teach them from a young age how to do what is right, and from there, they will be able to live it out as well. Children can also be fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah, and also, the thing is that we can't just say, okay, we told them about Jesus, they've said this in this prayer, or they've said they've committed their lives to Jesus, or whatever it is, and then you go, okay, great. You're a Christian now, that's that. Now you go off and try and figure out the rest for yourself. It even says in the Great Commission, teaching them to obey, that discipleship is also so important. Like having this relationship with them, growing together, holding them accountable and continuing to teach them to grow in their relationship with God. It can't just be, I've shared the gospel with you, my job is done. No, we need to be discipling people, for our friends, our little children, all of that. It's so important. Discipleship, it can't just be evangelism and then it stop there. It needs to go into discipleship.
Yeah, because children can understand, so often they can understand more than we think. We can sometimes be astonished, I think, by wisdom. Or even the other day in Belleville, some of the questions some of those children asked made me realize that they understand more than we think. And even when we were on the mission, some of the questions Talita and I got from children who are brought up in African homes with not much education and so on, they ask questions making you realize that they are spiritual beings. They also have eternal beings and are wondering about those things, even from a young age. And it's important to not only be teaching the Bible stories to them, but also the gospel. So it must be pointing to Christ. Like, let's say, we teach them about Noah and the Ark. Not only the story. The other day in Belleville, I asked them, do you know the story of Noah and the Ark? Yeah, we made the Ark in Sunday school, some of them said. And but they did not know, like, much more. Like, what does that mean? What is the covenant God made with us? So we can use stories as a foundation to teach the doctrine as well. And they will understand that. We must not think, he's only 5 or he's only 7, he won't understand it. We can teach it to them.
Absolutely. Like, all the time in children's ministry and that type of thing, they'll teach all these Bible stories. But at the end of the day, it just becomes Christian characters in the same plot line as any fairy tale or anything, unless we point them to Christ after that, and we show them how it applies to their lives, how they can then, how this should change the way they live, how they should share this with others. Unless we point them to those doctrinal values, it just ends up being a normal fairy tale just with Christian names. So that's not good enough. We need to share the whole gospel and truth with them. Because as Eliska was saying, they're never too young to understand this. And for example, this little girl here, it was a little girl that we were on a mission last year, and I met her in Pretoria. And she was 8 years old, and we went out evangelizing and whatnot, and she came with me, and we're busy chatting, and she so wanted to share the gospel with people. And she was tiny, she was 8 years old, this was a cute little thing. And after, she came up to me and she was like, Emma, can you and I just go somewhere and talk? I really have this problem that I need to talk to you about. This little 8-year-old, and I'm like, okay, yeah, what's so serious? Let's go. And she was like, Emma, like, I want to tell people about Jesus, but no one ever takes me seriously because I'm little. She's like, I want to tell them these truths, but no one takes me seriously just because I'm so young. And I said to her, like, so then a little 8-year-old girl with the passion, the purity, and everything to go and share the gospel, but no one was listening to her. So I said to her, like, point them to these verses in the Bible and say that it's not your ideas or your young mind that is saying this. It's biblical. This is exactly what's happening. And so they can understand. And she even asked me questions like, so Emma, how do I know that I'm hearing God's voice? How do I decipher God's will for my life? because there's definitely other spirits out there, like in the spiritual world. So how do I know that it's God's voice that I'm hearing, not a different voice? They understand these things, guys. We don't need to tiptoe on eggshells around them. We don't need to water down the gospel for them. They can probably understand them a lot better than most adults can. So we need to teach them these things before their mind gets adulterated by everything else in this world.
Yeah, because they're already, even though they're so young, they are already bombarded with all the things that we are bombarded with. They have internet, they have TV, a lot of them have cell phones and so on as well. And also just adults being teaching them the wrong things. Even in Babel, they get bombarded with parents that's drug and alcohol addicts. And so they are facing the same dangers in the spiritual and in the physical world that we are. So that we must be equipping them with the truth in the same level as we are. We can't just say, oh, they won't understand it. So, like,
the devil's attacking them just as hard as he's attacking adults.
Yeah,
so we can't say, oh, we can't share the gospel with them, and oh, we'll only do it when they're about to head off to college, and that's when they're going to start getting bombarded. And no, they're going to be getting bombarded from a young age. And the thing is, like, I heard statistics the other day saying, oh, like, so people asking, like, how should I teach my child in case they get exposed to pornography? It's not in case they might get it. It's when they do, because it will happen. And it's the same with other temptations, with everything else. And we live in a filthy, broken world, and we have to prepare them. Children are so impressionable at that young age. Yeah, children can learn up until the age of 5. If you have 5 different people speaking to them in 5 different languages, they can learn all 5 languages at once. They are little sponges at that age, and it is so important to be teaching them those things, to be helping them memorize verses, memorize hymns. They'll remember all of that when they're older. They're at that age, they're most impressionable, so we need to teach them these truths.
Yeah, and also, like the Marriott Schlebusch, the owl, she told about, they were just young children playing around, and then this lady invited them in. And that's things that happen in reality. Her testimony is real. Like, then all the children going in, and this game is played with the man lying on the floor, and she gets pulled into Satanism in that way. It's so important that they are being taught how to be aware of these kind of things. Even the, like, some of the YouTube videos I sometimes see my brother watching, that's only cartoons. I'm like, what is this? There's like little devils and angels flying around and fighting, and it's in Tom and Jerry. I mean, it's everywhere. So
they need to teach them discernment as well. Like,
we
can't just say, oh, when they're older and when they start understanding things, we must teach them to be able to discern this from that. And that's when they need to be able to discern it, before they get taken on the wrong path, before they get distracted, before they get lost. We need to teach them all of that at an early age.
Yeah, and 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Mm-hmm. Let no one despise your youth. So, even like this little girl. So, there's this kids evangelism explosion. That's a very helpful way to teach kids the gospel, but also to that they can use to share it with others.
So we've done this with lots of little kids all over the country. I'm sure you did it all over when you went on your overland mission.
Yeah, we did it sometimes.
So this is a very good tool. It's like we're going to stand up and we're going to all do it together now. Yeah. But don't just think of it as, it's a little kiddies thing. It's not important. And I can only use when I'm... The amount of times I've used this when I'm out evangelizing, in my head I'm going, on the one side,
God loves us,
but on the other side. And it's the perfect outline of how to evangelize. So you can use this in your evangelization. You obviously won't be going, on the one, but in your mind you're going, okay, that's the next...
I even do that with my hand sign sometimes.
Yeah.
On the one hand, God loves us.
So it's very, very
adults.
Cool. Okay, let's stand up. Let's look.
Okay. So I'm going to ask a question, and then you're going to echo, and along with that...
Yeah, I'll echo with you guys.
Yeah, along with the hand signs.
Okay.
So, the first one. Do you ever think about heaven?
Do you ever think about heaven?
If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you are going to heaven?
If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?
Heaven is a free gift. It's not something you can work for or deserve.
Heaven is a free gift. It's not something you can work for or deserve.
Man is a sinner. And we cannot save ourselves. God is holy, loving, and just. On the one hand, God loves us, and he doesn't want to punish us. But on the other hand, God is just, and he must punish sin. Can you see the problem? God solved this problem by sending us his son, Jesus. Jesus is God. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead. He is in heaven now. Offering us the free gift of eternal life. How do we get this gift? By faith. Now, faith is not just knowing something in your head. And it's not just temporary. Saving faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone with your whole heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In Acts 16, verse 31. Does this make sense to you? Would you like to pray now and ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life? Okay, and we're going to repeat a prayer after me because it goes through. But you can go follow me, okay?
Okay.
You can pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Help me to love and obey you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, and John 6:47 says, he who believes has eternal life.
Okay, so how many of you, I don't know who of you have been on my team while evangelizing, have any of you ever heard me using these points?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't good enough. We have to surrender to him. We can't just know about these things. That's not going to save us. I say that all the time. We'll say, there's a problem. God loves us. He doesn't want to punish us. But he's also a just judge.
He has to punish them.
So I use this all the time. It's such a good outline. So remember this, and we're going to do it again. But first, let's do the marching song. This is another thing to get children to engage with you, to keep them active.
To not be afraid of being goofy or funny or having them laugh at you. That's part of self-denial, I think, as well, to just give yourself to them without worrying what they're going to think of you or what anyone's going to think of you.
That's so important.
Because it's to the glory of God. And to keep children engaged, they have short attention spans. They just wander off just like that. Well, I used to anyway.
Yeah.
And if you are funny, like John also said the other day, if you are funny and engaging them, they stay sharp and they stay focused and
stays, yeah.
Yeah, and they keep learning better.
But it's so funny as well, because that song that we sang in the beginning, we're like, no, we haven't done that in a while, and we're gonna forget it, and we're like, oh, it's a bit embarrassing. And we're like, but that's the whole point we're trying to make, is that you have to be goofy with them. You don't have to worry about what they think about you or what other people in the room think about you. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it for people to think you're cool or anything. You're doing it to have fun with them and to show them the love of Christ. So it's so important.
Yeah.
So let's do the marching song.
Okay, do you want me to start?
You can.
Okay, feel free. Let's march.
March.
For the wage of sin is dead.
For the wage of sin is dead.
To recite Romans 6:23 because of the song. So it helps us as well, actually. Okay, yeah. Let's do the kids EE again. See if we can, if you can try and remember it, because it's such a cool tool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you ever think about heaven?
Do you ever think about heaven?
If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?
Heaven
is a free gift.
Heaven is a free gift.
It's not something we can work for or deserve. Man is a sinner. And we cannot save ourselves. God is holy, loving, and just. On the one hand, God loves us, and he doesn't want to punish us. But on the other hand, God is just, and he must punish sin. Can you see the problem? God solved this problem by sending his son, Jesus. Jesus is God. He came from heaven above. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead. And he is in heaven now. Offering us the free gift of eternal life. How do we get this gift? By faith. Now faith is not just knowing something in your head. And it's not just temporary. Saving faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone with your whole heart. Does this make sense to you? Would you like to pray now and ask Jesus to forgive your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life? You can pray this prayer.
I'll just read that because
I want to walk through this prayer quickly with you, because I've been using this prayer points. It goes through a few certain points that's important. So, dear Lord Jesus, so first we're talking to God. Always before praying with children, I say, we close our eyes, we respect God because we are talking to Him. It's not just words we are saying for each other to hear. We are talking to God.
And also I find it's often quite important to say Jesus, especially when you're evangelizing with other religions and whatnot. Because if you say God or Lord or whatever, that could be referring to any God or any Lord. So it's important to say Jesus.
Yeah. Or our Father, yeah.
Yeah.
And then thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. It's thanking God and it is bringing the gospel immediately. Like, my sins, it's a problem. He solved it. And then I'm sorry for my sins. It brings repentance. So it's real doctrine that we can teach them through prayer. And please forgive me. We ask God to forgive us. We need Him to forgive us. And that's part of repentance. Come into my heart. The Holy Spirit is God living in our hearts, giving us the strength to fight against our sins. Help me to love and obey you as my Lord and Savior. So we must love God, love each other, obey God, the Ten Commandments, and obeying our parents and those around us, and acknowledge God as our Lord and Savior. So God has authority. And this is like doctrine in a simple prayer that you can pray with children and they can understand it. So yeah, he who believes has eternal life.
Okay, so and it's also really important, no matter how many times we've done this, and no matter how many times we've gone out evangelizing, you guys can sit, by the way. Thank you. Or you can stand to stay awake, either way. So no matter how many times you've done something like this, don't be boring. Don't do it because it's a task. Don't do like
you know dread it.
Yes. Like the thing is, you've got to show that you're actually interested in what you're saying. You've got to show that you're interested in them, that you care about them. You can't just say, do you ever think about heaven? It's not going to work, okay? And also, it's the same for when we're evangelizing. Don't just shout, like, spit out a whole bunch of points and whatnot. You've got to really show that you're doing it because you love them, because you don't want them to go to hell. Like, if that's what we truly, truly believe, how can we not share it with them? How much would we have to hate them if we didn't share it with them? We have to have that love for them, and that has to be evidence. It can't just be a task. Does that make sense? Because the thing is, if we're boring and we look like this, or maybe even like this, the response we're going to get is that, or maybe even that. But the thing is, if we're exciting, if we're teaching them like this, or like this, or like this, or even like this, then the response we're going to get is like this. Maybe even like this. Definitely like this. And maybe even like this. But ultimately, it'll lead to this. And it'll lead to this. And this is that's the thing. That's what's important. If we can't be showing them, we don't really actually believe what we're saying. And it's not really life-changing. The thing is, if it's not life-changing, it's not the gospel. So we have to show them that it is life-changing, that it is the most exciting thing that there is, that we have a passion for this. We have a passion for them because God has a passion for them. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
So also, back to this point. Okay, so there's a few, like, cool things that I think are really important in children's ministry as well. One of them I think would be really cool if people started establishing prayer partners with children. To either pray with them, but especially to pray for them. Imagine, for example, each person in the congregation or each family in the congregation or something had a child that they prayed for all the time. How powerful would that be? Like, I think that is such an important task, to be praying for children. Like, the other day in Bulbul, like, my heart was breaking over those little children. And just praying for their futures, praying that the truth would be rooted in them, that they'd be able to hear the gospel again and again and again, that they wouldn't fall away from that, praying that the Lord would use them in their communities. And it's so important to be praying for little children as well.
Mm.
And then, obviously, we can learn from children. We can see this. We can see their pure hearts. We can see the love that they have so purely for the Lord. So we can even learn during children's evangelism.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop with evangelizing to children. It can continue in growing them, building a firm foundation of faith in them. It should not stop with, you know the gospel, you are saved. We can continue to invest in them, and that will reap its fruits, and we will be finding joy in that, in hearing that they actually learn these things and apply it.
So other important things are things like get them to memorize things. I know when I was homeschooled, we did this curriculum called TCE, which is Theocentric Christian Education. And literally, I found the other day in one of the containers that came through, there was one of the grade one like study guide type things for the month to prepare and whatnot. In the grade one study guide, it had 27 characters of God. Why 27? Because 3 cubed is 27, and because God is a triune God, and all these, like, factual channel points made in a little grade one teacher's guide, and it's so important. I remember learning passages, like a page long, in like grade two, or hymns. Every 2 weeks would have a hymn. Every 2 weeks would have a passage that would have to memorize. I still remember those passages. Mm. So it's so important. Get children to memorize scripture. Then there's, so that's like it's obviously the doctrinal side of things, but also be fun. Engage with them. Be goofy. Be silly. Doesn't matter what they think. And of course, make sure that you're always looking after children. I don't know, we found this picture the other day, and I had no idea what was going on in this picture. But stay cool, calm, and collected. Even if
just,
the same
just like Isaac.
But yeah, so
always have an atmosphere of that you are in control when teaching children.
But yeah, so have fun with them, be goofy, and also change things up the whole time. You can get them say, okay guys, everyone, whisper after me. Love the Lord your God. With all your heart. And with all your soul.
And with all your soul.
And with all your mind.
And with all your mind.
So you guys can change it up. It keeps them engaged. Like if they're just sitting there, they're going to be like, okay, when can we go and play? But they'll be learning things if you're being exciting, if you're changing things up. That's so important. And also a big thing that I find when speaking to children, if you're just talking to them one-on-one, get down onto their level. Get into their plane. Get eye contact with them. It just establishes this. It shows them that you respect them and that's to come down to their level. So it establishes this mutual respect. It makes you feel approachable. Whereas if you're looking down on a child and saying, oh yeah, what do you think about that? They're not going to really want to come speak to you. So I found being with children and show them love. Even if it's just a touch on the head as you walk past or whatever. A lot of children don't get that from home. So it's so important to, you can't say, oh, God is love. I don't really want to touch you because you've got a snotty nose. And it's
yeah,
so important.
That won't work in... and missions, especially. And
is that a mattress?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
that was.
Yeah. They use it creatively to play with.
It's love.
So, also, what I would add to that is self-denial. When we are evangelizing to children, it should not be, I'm older than all these children, they have to listen to me. That kind of thing. It must truly be, like Emma said, for the love, but also us forgetting ourselves, really having the children at heart while we're teaching them, while we're speaking to them, while we're praying with them. Because that's when we will truly be caring for them. And that's when they will realize that they will remember, want to remember what we are teaching them. Because they feel valuable then as well.
And that's also very important because, like we were saying, in those places like Belleville or in those places like wherever it is in Africa, where they don't value their own children, by us showing them love, us showing them the value, it triggers something in their mind. They can then see, actually, these children are worthy of something.
Yeah, I can actually do something. I can actually share the gospel, actually have a purpose.
Mm. So it can change the lives of the parents as well by us showing love and value of these little children. Okay, so in Mark, it also records that story, and it says, then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw, he was greatly displeased, and he said to him, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. For such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them.
Yeah. So we must receive the kingdom of God like a little child, not like the Queen of England or like the most important person in the world, but like a little child. They believe unconditionally, so often with trust, that what you say is the truth. And we so often add conditions to faith, and as we grow older, the conditions often becomes more, like, I have to do this, I have to do that. But young children have a cleaner slate almost in their brains. As I see it, they believe what you say to them is the truth. They accept it. They have not been bombarded as much or as numbed to all these different kind of ideas that contradict each other. So, if we from a young age minister to them the truth, they are more likely to believe in it and stay in it as the truth. And that can be, that is an example that Jesus pointed to us. Believe like these little children. Receive the kingdom like these little children. When children are happy about something, they run to their mom or dad and tell them about it. When they are sad about something, they go to their mom and dad and tell them about it. When we must have that same kind of relationship with God and have that eternal, that vision of His kingdom coming, that when we are rejoicing, we can thank God, He's our Father. When we are sad or worried, we bring it to Him in thanksgiving, but also as a worry of ours, because He's our Father and He cares for us. So we were doing in Sumeb in northern Namibia, just with our hosts one evening, we did a Bible study on this passage Emma read in Mark 10 of Jesus rebuking the disciples and saying, these children, you must receive the kingdom like these children. And the lady there, she had two daughters. I don't remember how old they were. I think 3 and 5 or something. And she said that it was an eye-opener going through that passage again. Because so often she thinks like, yeah, she'll teach them these things when they are older and they will be able to really understand and really talk with her about it and so on. But reading this just made her realize that we must teach them from a young age the Word of God, and that they will be able to listen, they will be able to believe, even though they are young. So, yeah, I just again want to emphasize, we can't put age restrictions to faith. Mm-hmm. And,
I just want to say that I, like, really love that passage. It kind of incorporates everything. It says, He took them up in His arms and He laid His hands on them. It shows the love that Jesus had for them. So it is the perfect example of how we should be with the little children. We need to love them. We need to share God's love with them. And then also it says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. It says, for such is the kingdom of God. So it shows that they can understand. It says, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So it's a point, it proves that children can understand, that they understand better than adults. So we need to share the truth with them. So it kind of incorporates and embodies all aspects of children's ministry. So I think it's very important.
Yeah. So Jesus did not say to His disciples, well done for sending these children away. He rebuked them. And He said, He rebuked them and said that we do not believe like them will not inherit the kingdom. And we must be in children's ministry, be focusing on the best example we ever had, who is Jesus Christ. We must strive to be like Him. We must not say, today I don't have time for these children. I'd rather just go and talk with my friends or with all those smart adults there and so on. We must not say that children are not a priority, because they are. We must invest in them as people today already, not just as the church of the future, but as the church of today already. And we would just want to encourage everyone here. Like, everyone has little brothers or sisters or cousins or nephews or whatever. When you have time with them, don't just play with them or think they won't understand, like, the thoughts you have. Share with them Bible passages that you recently read or doctrines that you thought of and now understand better. Or even pray with them. Ask them, what is there anything you want to bring to the Lord with me together? And, yeah, that can be so valuable to them.
Or put it into a song, or put actions to it, or whatever it is that will help them to memorize it. But don't simplify it. You can add things to help them remember, but don't simplify it, because they will understand, and they can understand. And like Elizabeth just said, like, so often people will be like, oh no, like, that's the church of tomorrow, or rubbish, it's the church of today. They're just as much a part of the kingdom of God as you or I are. So we really do need to prioritize them. They're not a second goal, or if we have time, or they are part of the kingdom of God. We need to disciple them. We need to teach them the truth of God. Yes. Does anyone have any
comments, questions, or criticism?
Look at Dr. Hammond.
Yeah?
I have... 2 younger cousins, whose parents are very atheist. Like, mm-hmm. they're big atheists, and I pray for them all the time. But how would I speak to them who are... Would I just say the same thing? You know, what you guys just spoke about?
Or? Yeah. Ask them. Yeah. You could do exactly that. Do you guys ever think about heaven? If you were to die tonight, where do you think you'd go? Like, you can ask them simple things like that. Ask them lots of questions. Say, how do you guys think we got here? Whoa, check out this tree. How do you think we got here? So you can have little engaging questions so then be able to lead into the gospel. And it's so tragic because there's so many children like that. My mum teaches three little children where they live in Mozambique. The three little white kids from the community. And that community is so debaucherous. They're like a drop out of society. Every few years they swap partners and have a couple more kids and swap out. It's like, it's so terrible. And so my mum teaches these three little girls from about 8 to 12. And and my mom gets so much flack because she's teaching these little children about God. All their parents are atheists or New Age, a little bit of everything, a few Buddha statues in their house, crystals in the garden, burning incense to the angels and fairies. And so they're getting bombarded with all these crazy ideas. And it's tragic. Like they'll come to school, mama, and they'll be like, oh, my mom wants me to drink wine or give me like a smoke of the job, like a little smoke of the joints or whatever it is. Like nine, it's so ridiculous. Like, you think, what kind of parents want that for their children? But it's happening. It's happening all over the place. But now these little girls, like, they'll come to my mom and they'll be in tears because they'll be like, I'm getting persecuted for my faith. From their own families, these little 8-year-old girls, like, will be praying for their parents, saying, Lord, please, can you just open my mom's eyes? Can she please just understand? So these children do understand. We need to share the truth with them. And, like, it's so funny because, the parents will say to my mom all the time, oh, you're so inclusive and you're so close-minded. And they'll say this to the children and everything, that you're so intolerant of our religion. But one little girl went home the other day and said to her mom, Mom, why are you so intolerant of my religion? And so little children, they're abrasive. They speak the truth. So it's like we're saying, they can sometimes be better witnesses than we can.
So but we have to more teach fearless them. Of what people think about them.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, carry on.
Okay. So maybe even, like these parents don't sound like they do care, but often I think parents care about their children in a more sentimental way than they care about themselves. So you can ask your cousin's parents, like, don't you worry about what's going to happen with them when they die? Like, I know you're like, are you sure, so sure that they there's not a heaven or hell? Like, what if one of your children die tomorrow? And I think you can also use that in as a...
Yeah, I think that would be more to evangelize the parents than the children.
Oh, but also to...
Yeah. Because if the parents don't believe that, then they probably won't believe it for their children either. But the children can believe. So share the gospel with the children. Like, yeah, just like those little questions and stuff. Okay, last question, we're about out of time, yeah?
Okay, I just want to say that really encouraged me because me and Christian went away for a week. And when we came back, the first thing we were even out of the combi, and Young came running up to me and said, guess what happened? And I was like, she said. And I was like, the thing I thought about first was, did you accept the Lord? She said, yes, that's what happened. And I said, how did that happen? And she said, oh no, Zadok and Lisa was talking about if they're going to die, then they're sure they're going to heaven. And I knew I wasn't sure that I'm going to heaven. And it took me so by surprise that I've never thought about... I knew I've so prayed for the older ones, but I never thought about her evangelizing to her and saying, are you sure when you go to die? Are you sure you're going to heaven? And
absolutely.
Also, after she died, I was like, oh, she's saved now. I'm like, almost can't stop praying her.
But now you can keep disciples
to
her, yeah.
Go on and engage her in questions and discipling her too.
And just one more thing on that topic, like on that point. I know that I remember when I was little, my mom would pray over my bed. She'll pray while I was asleep, kneel by my bed every single night. The amount of times I remember waking up, seeing her praying by my bed and just going back to sleep. She used to pray every single night. And then recently I was telling her a story about how like someone kept teasing me about certain things, and eventually, like, he said to me, he was like, oh my gosh, I don't know where to draw the line with you, because everyone else, like, you kind of get to that point, and they're like, and they like hurt and whatnot, but I don't like know where that line is with you. And I was telling my mom about that, and she was like, that is amazing, because I used to pray every single night over your bed that you would be unaffected about what other people think about you, that you'd be unaffected about, like, by peer pressure, you'd be about all those things. She used to pray that every single night over my bed. And yeah, how many, 20 years later, like, it became like a realization. And so it's so important to be praying for our children, to be discipling them in that.